Blog Talk Radio.
That if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
Thank you, Sir Winston, for reminding us of what can be at good times with good people. Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball, leftahead.com and herumfer.com. I can't stop talking about this damn election. Okay, but now I'll look ahead. The real anomaly here is that Donald J. Trump got to be the Republican nominee for president. I do not believe that he could possibly win this one. And the polls all seem to back me up on there, except for one outlier. So we're going to work on the assumption that Hillary Clinton is going to be our next president. And it says good and bad things about the Republicans as well. A good thing is they have been smarter than the Democrats many times. They were early on. They were first to the use of computers and social media. They were out there first, and they blew it, of course. They got all tied up in their hatred and arrogance and messed it up, but they were there first, and the Republicans made the Democrats play catch-up. And they did that, and they did that well. But more to the point, more recently, and for this election, we're looking at the terrific job the Republicans did in 2010 and 2011 when in preparation for that and the follow-up for the next two-year cycle, they did their red map, which was short for redistricting majority project. And that's what they did, is they turned the map red, and they were very clever at it, and the Democrats just sat there like dummies with their fingers in their ears and missed that one. And it worked because there are 32 states in the United States that have the state legislature do the redistricting following each every 10-year census. And the Republicans were right all over that. And they targeted the state legislatures so that they had control over the vast majority of them, and they redistrict. So here again, the Democrats are playing catch-up, and not very well, I must say, because you got, well, who are the states that weren't? There are seven states that have a independent or bipartisan redistricting commission. That's what it is. Here is the list. Arizona, California, Hawaii, Idaho, Montana, New Jersey, and Washington State. And there are four that have a independent body that also is, we reasonably assured is fair, and that would be Florida, Iowa, Maine, and New York. And then there are seven states where it's not an issue, is their population is so low they have a single U.S. representative. That's Alaska, Delaware, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Vermont, and Wyoming. So you don't redistrict for that because there's only one district, and it's real simple in the majority of that. But the other 32 are up for grabs, and the Republicans grabbed almost every single one of them, and they got it. And you look at it now, and there's much screaming about gerrymandering, and it just, it's absurd to look at the maps that are just unbelievable shapes and forms that give Republicans the lead. They had picked up like 58 seats in the U.S. House and have had control as a result. And the Democrats can't do a damn thing about it until 2020 at the earliest. And with the Republican majority in the House, they may not even be able to do it in 2020. So it's extremely unlikely that Hillary Clinton's coattails will sweep the scum out of the House of Representatives. So we're in a situation where Republicans have taught Dems yet another lesson, and the Dems sit there rolling back on their heels. Hey, what happened here? Well, they know what happened. And so then that's going to be one of their charges. And the bigger charge is to the Republicans, because Barack Obama won in 2012. They did their famous or infamous autopsy. And that's I'll put links to both. If you go to leftahead.com, if you don't have those handy, I'll put links to both the Red Map and to the autopsy. They're worth going through, and they're kind of like picture books. There are lots of graphics, and it doesn't strain your brain too much to look at those, but they're worth the trouble. So the autopsy, as you may or may not recall, said, oh, well, we're trying to picture ourselves as the big tent people. They have their first pretense, when it has very little basis to support it, was that they were the party of Lincoln, which, well, I don't know. I guess if you note that they have totally disregarded all the things that Lincoln stood for and fought for, and you can say, well, he used to be a Republican at the very, very beginning of the party after he stopped being a Whig. But, you know, that's really kind of silly to say. That's like, it's like a, you know, a man saying, yeah, well, I used to wear a 30-inch belt when I was in high school. Yeah, well, you don't now. Yeah. So that's the kind of thing that the Republicans were in for. But they have been trying to say we are the big tent party. We include everybody, not just those pinkos and those people of color, but everybody. And they aren't very good at it. This particular election, you may note that they are extremely strong among white men without college educations. They do okay in general with white men, although they have been turning a terrific number of them off with extreme sexism and hatred of Donald Trump. So they're much weaker there they were. But white men without a college education, boy, they own those people still. So they have that. So their tent is actually quite small. Black people don't like them, and Latinas don't like them. And there are a whole bunch of people, as you can put out there. And in general, women don't want, particularly women, white women with college educations. They don't like the Republicans at all. So the Republicans going forward are looking back to the autopsy and saying, oh, yeah, well, we did say that the country was going to get browner and browner, and we got to do something about it. And they didn't do something about it in the last 4 years. And I don't know that they can now, as they are kind of in for a penny, in for a pound. I'm not sure that they can do much about that. But that's going to be their thing now that Donald Trump has devastated them with his stupidity. I'm assuming they're going to be losing the Senate, just barely, but they'll be losing the Senate, which is going to be kind of keen, because that's going to mean that the Democrats and Clinton can get through high-ranking judges, including the Supreme Court, get them through the nomination process and confirm them, which is a good thing, because we have a terrific slowdown in appointments of judges, and the courts are all clogged up because the Republicans haven't been done squat. They really haven't done much at all as legislators, so there's a chance to get at least that part of it done and start restocking the judge benches. That's kind of keen. But for the rest of it, I'm not exactly sure how the Dems are going to cohese to do this. And I don't know what the devil the Republicans are going to do. They are in a situation where they lock themselves in with this horrible, bigoted liar, Donald J. Trump. And, you know, that stink is going to be on them for a long time. So I'm not exactly sure what they can do after they lose. But they're going to have to probably do another version of the autopsy, or take the original one and say, oh, well, okay, let's really do it this time. And then that might be what they go for. That was a reasonable strategy 4 years ago, but there seemed to be no heart for it, much less the mind. So I don't know what they're going to do. And they could dump this Reince Priebus, who seems to be totally ineffective. I mean, it's really a shame that they got rid of Michael Steele, because he was a vastly superior head of the party. But I don't know what they're going to do on that. But it's going to be their big thing. And the Democrats are going to be looking at several things. One, it would be swell to get control of the state legislatures before the 2020 census. That would be a key thing, and get them back in power. There's Americans have this bizarre thought that, you know, if one party controls both houses of Congress and the presidency, everything goes to hell. And it actually doesn't. That's when things get done. And you see there, the polls of Americans are saying, you know, they don't respect Congress at all. And the number one reason is Congress doesn't act. Congress doesn't do anything. It's a stagnant body. And you can lay that's not equivalent. That falls directly to the Republicans, no matter how much Republican and Democratic Congress people are alike. This one falls directly to the Republicans. And you've heard the pronouncements already. Chaffetz and several other House members are saying if Hillary Clinton gets in, they're going to start immediately hearings leading to her impeachment. They just can't stand the idea. You know, I personally think this goes back to Nixon, who was driven from office. He actually quit before he could be impeached, but it was clear that he was getting forced out of office. And I don't think the GOP is ever going to forget that. And they thought they were going to get Bill Clinton out of office. It didn't work out. They did impeach him, but that wasn't confirmed by the Senate, so they didn't drive him from office, which is, you know, so they still haven't gotten their pound of flesh. So I think they're going to want to do that. But I don't see how much they can do in that way. But this is a huge opportunity for the Democrats. If the Republicans do, in fact, carry through on this and they start the next one, as they said, the last 8 years, they want to make sure that Obama was first a one-term president. They didn't do that. They failed miserably. And then they've lied and lied and lied about the American going to hell when he's been in office, despite the fact that his policies have saved us economically, and we're in much better shape with stock market, employment rates, all kinds of things. Even with a Republican obstructionism, you know, Obama was a very good president, and they're going to have to live with that for eternity, because that's down there in the books, and you can count it, and you can tick off this, tick off that, and Obama was there, and their great efforts to make him fail as president, to stop everything he wanted to do, didn't work. They kept him from getting enough judges. They kept some of the best legislation from being passed. But in the main, he got most of what he wanted. And I think about his good friend, former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who was 2 years ahead of him politically. Patrick became governor of Massachusetts in 2008, and they were really, really good buddies. They learned from each other. And one of the things that Patrick told me, yeah, he's on this show. At least once he told me on this show. Maybe it was twice. But I asked about the obstructionism from the state legislature here, because they really didn't want this outsider coming in and getting all this stuff. But he's, yeah, well, you know, they do try to stop me. They, you know, put up all objections. They talk. But in the end, they almost always do what I want. And that's the point. And that was the personality of both Obama and Patrick, is they nibbled away and they got what they wanted. They went forward and they had good policies and good laws that they wanted. So most of the time, they end up getting what they wanted despite the obstructionism. And we're going to have this situation again, apparently, when the Congress, the Republicans in Congress, or particularly the House, are determined to block Hillary Clinton. And that is a huge opportunity for the Democrats. This is the point at which you can say, okay, you've been screaming about obstructionism for 8 years. You say that Congress is ineffective. It's the time. We need to clear this out. And they need to have people go to their Republican representatives in Congress and tell them, you got to do it. You got to stop obstructing everything. We have to have these laws passed. We want to improve the Affordable Care Act. You've got to stop obstructing it. Let this do. Go. We have to do these things. Don't complain about the Obamacare. Fix it. And it needs Republican help to do that. They need to get on and pass the thing. So they got a wedge in there. And then coming up on in 4 years, we have a census. And so we're going to have two elections in between. And we're going to have to say, okay, these people are obstructing. They're keeping America from going forward, from doing what it has to do, and vote those guys out. I mean, that's the way it has to go. And the Dems need to frame it right. They need to assuage people who are terrified of a one-party rule of Congress and the White House. But they have to mollify them, and they can do that with logic. They can do it with reason. They can do it with history and show when the good stuff comes in and when we get our important laws passed and the America goes ahead and things go well. So you do that, and they can do that, and then you have to do a version of Red Map. And I don't know, what they're going to call it, blue something, or they're going to be, they can't be as clever as Republicans because of redistricting and the MA from majority and the P from, that's a red map, because they're turning their map red. So that's really very clever. I like that. So I don't know whether the Dems can do something that clever about that, but I don't really care what they call it. But they need to do that, and the Republicans in this election cycle have shown themselves to be just awful, vicious, and anti-American. They don't want democracy. They don't want the country to advance. They want the president to fail. They wanted Hillary Clinton to fail. They bugged her nonstop the entire time she was Secretary of State, trying to get her, you know, indicted for this or that, and, you know, failed again and again and again, trumped up everything. And all those absurd hearings, all the money and all the time they should have been legislating. So they have that history, and now coming up with a new president and a drive to get working. So they can do that. They can do that if the Dems make them, and they have to. So I got to say, Republicans, I don't know, poor guys, they're in a situation where they're trying to make themselves into a big tent, but their tent, people inside are not the ones they want. I mean, they want white men. And there aren't enough white men to elect the president of the United States. They're going to have to go for everybody. If they go for everybody, they're going to have to be left of where they are now. They have to be considered fairness and democracy. They're going to have to be, well, more like Democrats, because Democrats are too much like Republicans. They're pretty gutless on a lot about a lot of things. But the Republicans cannot attract, cannot fill up a big tent with their kind of the rhetoric that they've been getting from Trump and, well, they actually, the other 16 bozos who ran for president. I mean, they had, you know, a really motley crew. So they didn't have the policies, and they had nothing to vote for. They could only do voting against. So they're not going to be able to do that unless they follow that autopsy. The roadmap is already there. They have the material. They know what they have to do. And they're going to say, you have to ask the question, well, what do we need to do to be attractive and appear reasonable to women and African Americans and Latinos and Asians and all these people who don't care for them? So they have to do that, and they just say, well, we'll tough it out. We'll win the next one with just white guys. And it's not working this time, and it's not going to work more so in the future because our demographics have changed to that point. It just doesn't work anymore, kids. So they know what they have to do, and they at least already have the work done. That autopsy exists. I don't know if they even need to tweak it. They could put something in there about how, you know, we promise we'll never nominate a racist, lying bigot again. You know, that would be a start, but, you know, I don't know. I guess if they did that, then Donald Trump would sue them for defamation, even though all of that is true. So they can do that. And for the Democratic side, I mean, you got to look at it and say, okay, you got it. You know, they skunked you on their red map, and you've got to do something similar. You've got to get a hold of a lot more state legislatures in those 32 states where they gerrymander, and you've got to make the map fair, make it represent the population of the state and the districts in the state, and make it fair. So they know that what they have to do, and that's a big deal. It took a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of organizing, a lot of smarts from the Republicans to do Red Map. So the Democrats can see that, and they can see what they have to do, because it also requires undoing some of the things the Republicans have done. It's there, and it's going to be, you know, fairly exciting for everybody involved. But, I mean, I think they all know what they have to do, and I believe that, I think the Republicans are less likely to go with the autopsy and actually do what has to be done than the Democrats do that huge uphill climb on the 32 state legislatures. I think the Dems have a huge battle, but it's not a battle of the soul and spirit and mind the way it is with Republicans. They have to accept that what they've been doing is wrong. They have to accept that their autopsy was right. They have to look at what they have to do and get to it. But that's going to require a shift, a cultural shift within the party. So Democrats don't have to do that. They have to stop being so lazy about the local races and take control of the states and make it work. So they got a good shot at taking control of the House and keeping everybody on track. So they can do that. And it's be a big struggle, but I think they can do it because it's not going to require them to change their minds and their hearts. The poor Republicans, well, they're going to have to clean up their act. I got my doubts they're going to do it in 4 years. They're certainly not going to do it in two. They might do it in eight if it comes the way it normally does, which would be another a Clinton term. They might be able to get that all together. But they got a big struggle, a harder struggle than the Dems, and the Democratic one is tough. So good luck to everybody, because the nation could only do better if there's a competitive two-party system and the Democrats wiggle out from all this gerrymandering and unfairness in the legislative races. So I got to say, it promises to be exciting years, but those things are going to happen behind there. But I keep an eye out. Watch these things. Watch what goes on with the redistricting, and watch what goes on with the Republicans if they can possibly stop rending their garments and actually get their act together and make a cultural change. I got my doubts. Thank you.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.